Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, June 9, 2014. The often delayed peace talks in Addis are set to resume this week with many more players at the table.
What will happen is that all these groups will have a representation, a very small representation. IGAD of talking of altogether about 50.
And the opposition says they will provide protection where the government has withdrawn its forces in several towns and villages.
The government forces had abandoned a number of barracks, starting with Gadiang, Poktap, Werinyol, and all the forces are moving to Bor.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudanese President Salva Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar will meet face-to-face tomorrow to talk about how to end the political crisis, which started 6 months ago. Spokesman for the SPLM in opposition, Hussein Mar Nyot, says all delegates from various interested parties in South Sudan will be represented in the next round of talks aimed at ending the bloody violence. He says the outcome of President Kiir and Machar's meeting will affect the makeup of the peace talks.
Actually, what's happening here in Addis Ababa is that for the last 4 days, we have been in symposiums whereby people were actually brought from South Sudan and other neighboring countries. And this is mainly the parties, the government side, the SPLM, SPLA in opposition, other political parties, the civil society, church organizations, and all this. All these groups were assembled here for the last 3 days. We're having symposiums so that we see the areas of agreements and the areas which are actually contentious. And then these things will actually be summarized, and that will actually help in drawing the agenda and the discussion in the next round of the peace talks. We want participation of the civil society, and then a number was decided.
Yes.
And political parties.
Yeah. Let me just get back to you there. Now, it looks like the number was 250 people. I mean, are you going to have all these people to take part in the next round of talks?
No. It's actually, this is a symposium actually just to solicit ideas. What will happen is that all these groups will have a representation, a very small representation. IGAD of talking of altogether about 50.
And you are saying that the final composition of those who will be at the round table for the peace talks will be around 50. If you divide that 50 to the numbers of the various stakeholders, how many people are you sending? For instance, the SPLM in opposition will send how many people to the round table?
IGAD is saying 10 plus 1 on our side and 10 plus 1 on the government. And the civil society so far, they're saying 6 plus 1. And other political parties, 6 plus 1. Saying the former political detainees also will have 6 plus 1. And the church-based organization will have 2. This is how they proceeded yesterday. But with this division also, again, there are some complaints which actually need to be, I think, looked into by IGAD mediation. Because we are also having some feelings that, it's better we address this so that people feel that they are actually included into this process. So far now, we told IGAD we don't want to discuss it on the media because we are having a consultation meeting on Wednesday, and IGAD. And then we look into these issues of inclusivity and particularly the numbers that actually are given to each group. So these are issues that we'll discuss on Wednesday.
And when is President Salva Kiir and Dr. Riek Machar meeting? We understand they are meeting this week.
They are meeting tomorrow. And that meeting, as I was saying before, it is the same meeting that was actually scheduled. You remember when they signed the cessation of hostilities and the agreement that they signed on the 9th? In the agreement, it was mentioned that they will actually come back within 1 month. They will actually meet again. But so far, we are not, the two principals are here. both of them in Addis Ababa. And I believe tomorrow they will meet together with the heads of IGAD. And that's not a secret meeting. This is actually a meeting that is everybody is aware that they will have that meeting. But what we don't know is the agenda. That, of course, the agenda will be presented by the heads of IGAD. And then from there, we'll see how it goes tomorrow.
That's Hussein Marniot, spokesperson for the SPLM in opposition at the Addis Peace Talks. He was speaking to me from Addis Ababa this past hour. An opposition spokesman accuses South Sudan's army of creating a so-called security vacuum. Lul Kong Roy claims government forces have abandoned several military posts in Jonglei State, causing panic among local residents. But as Philip Aleu reports from Juba, South Sudan Army spokesman Colonel Philip Aguer strongly denies the rebel accusations.
Kwang assents that government forces withdrew from their positions in central parts of Jonglei State last week. He says the opposition will establish law and order in villages abandoned by the South Sudan Army to protect citizens.
The government forces had abandoned a number of barracks, starting with Gadiang, Poktap, Werinyol, and all the forces are moving to Bor through Panyagor, the administrative headquarters of Du County. We also have received some information indicating that the government troops in Ayut are also in the process of joining, because without them joining, they would be the only one left and cut off. The government forces are on the retreat. The reasons, we do not know.
The rebel spokesman did not mention whether or not its forces are already in the areas allegedly abandoned by government forces. There is no independent confirmation of the rebel claims from the United Nations mission in South Sudan or international aid agencies operating in Jonglei State. SPLA spokesperson Colonel Philip Aguer says it is clear the opposition is creating this made-up scenario as a pretext to attack government-controlled areas. Aguer says government forces will continue to be in locations they have been occupying in Jonglei State for months.
Yes, SPLA is in those places. So what is their concern? That is not true. The SPLA is still maintaining its position.
But Kwang says Aguer is not fully explaining the current situation.
You know, in Upper Nile State, during the rainy season, the minute you make a mistake of remaining at a given place, there is assured that you will not get contact with the outside world until February. And that was a reality that the government force and the allies were trying to avoid.
The rebels and government forces have been fighting over the control of villages in Jonglei, Unity and Upper Nile States for several months, and blame each other for repeated violations of a cessation of hostilities agreement signed in May between President Salva Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar. For BOA News, I am Philip Tonaleu in Juba.
Lucy Pony contributed to this report from Nairobi. A senior U.S. official says President Kiir and Riek Machar have assured him they will meet during the next round of IGAD-led talks in Addis Ababa, due to get underway tomorrow. Chancellor of the State Department Thomas Shannon, who advises U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry on major foreign policy issues, says the two rivals made the pledge to him when he visited Juba over the weekend. Mungume Debs Rakarinj was at a news briefing with Ambassador Shannon and has this report.
Ambassador Shannon says Mr. Kiir and Machar have agreed to hold face-to-face talks in Addis Ababa to try to move the slow-moving peace process forward. The two men agreed to meet again within a month when they signed a framework agreement on May 9th, reaffirming their commitment to a ceasefire that has so far failed to take hold. Shannon says the May 9th agreement signed by Kiir and Machar is a key step towards restoring peace in South Sudan.
First of all, in winning a reaffirmation of all parties to stop the fighting and to find a way to create a political path forward. But it also created a basis whereby the regional partners involved, the IGAD partners, but also the UN through UNMISS, could participate in that process. And in particular, this means creating a regional force under UN command that could be inserted into the country.
The U.S. envoy says the deployment of regional force in South Sudan would help protect members of ceasefire monitoring teams set up under the original cessation of hostilities agreement signed in January. But ultimately, it is neither face-to-face talks between the two leaders nor the deployment of an outside stabilization force that will bring peace to South Sudan. Shannon says, the people of South Sudan have to be involved in the peace process and play a role in deciding what comes next, he says.
It's really going to be up to the people of South Sudan to determine what that government's going to look like. But with the help of the regional partners, with the help of the mediators, with the help of the UN and the African Union, I believe we can create an environment in which that government will actually be able to create a peaceful space that will allow for the immediate needs of the people of South Sudan to be met, while at the same time creating a basis for future elections.
Last week, IGAD brought together representatives of civil society, political parties, faith-based groups and traditional leaders for a symposium to brainstorm ways to end the conflict in South Sudan and discuss how to move the country forward once the fighting has stopped. Shannon says he came to Juba to meet with as many parties to South Sudan's peace process as possible, including political parties, military officials, and members of civil society groups. He says the United States believes in South Sudan and is committed to helping the young country get out of the conflict that has engulfed it for the last 6 months.
This is a commitment that continues over time. And it has been a painful thing for us to watch the current conflict in South Sudan unfold. But it has strengthened our commitment to helping the people of South Sudan find a resolution to that conflict, because we believe that this is a great country, we believe it has a great future, and we believe that the role it will play in the great continent of Africa is significant.
Shannon is expected to travel to the Ethiopian capital later this week for the peace talks. He'll be accompanied by U.S. Special Envoy to Sudan and South Sudan, Donald Booth. For VOA News, I am Gume Davis Ruakarinj in Juba.
More than a dozen SPLM members of parliament from the National Legislative Assembly and Council of States have defected to join rebels allied with Riek Machar. As Lucy Pony reports, the members of parliament who hail from Greater Equatorial and Upper Nile states declared their support to the rebels over the weekend in Nairobi.
Member of Parliament Galwak Riak Jack from Maiwut in Upper Nile State says the lawmakers defected because they cannot support a government that kills its own people.
Those are the people who elected us to the parliament. So if they're being killed, there is no need for us to be working with the same government.
Riak says the people of his constituency have given him the go-ahead to join the rebellion after the fighting that broke out in Juba in mid-December, which spread quickly to Unity, Jonglei, and Upper Nile states. Ramadan Laku, a member of parliament from Terkeka in Central Equatoria State, says the MPs took the action for the well-being of their constituencies. He accused President Kiir of interfering in the business of parliament by appointing and dismissing chairpersons of parliamentary committees and even the speakers. Laku also accused the administration of not providing sufficient security, claiming people of Jonglei and Lake states have been subjected to rampant killings.
This country, since it started, has been led by one tribe. Yet the country has 36 tribes. The rest of the tribes are not represented. They were not given the opportunity. They have very good leaders who would have served the nation, but were not given the opportunity. It's dominated by one tribe only. These are the issues that we as leaders do not want to keep going on like this. And yet in the SPLM, we talk of justice and democracy. These things have not been implemented during Salva Kiir Mayardit's term.
Opposition spokesperson Lul Ruai Kong welcomes the MPs to his side, adding the people of South Sudan are now realizing they need to be served.
So the impact of this lawmakers is great. It shows that the authority of Salva Kiir is declining. It shows that the government is crumbling from within. It is an indication that the government is going to fall. It is a matter of time. And it has actually taken longer because it is being propped up by the Ugandans.
Roy also says former SPLA Major Ta Galjek has resigned from the SPLA and joined the opposition. In a statement released to VOA on Monday, Galjek accused the president of undermining the SPLA by recruiting a private tribal army from his own tribesmen that he claims have massacred thousands of Nuer since the conflict began. He also accused the president of killing officers from Upper Nile State loyal to the president in Mapel, Western Barrel Gazal, and Npochala. The MPs also cite corruption, poor governance, and bad foreign relations as other reasons for their defections. SPLM Acting Secretary General Dr. Annie To says she was not aware of the defections and would only comment once she has received legitimate information from the SPLM lawmakers themselves, who have supposedly crossed to the opposition. For VOA News, I'm Lucy Pony in Nairobi.
To better understand what is happening behind the scenes with the SPLM and the Kiir administration, we talked to Professor Gerald Prigneux, a French professor of history who has closely been following events in South Sudan since the violence erupted in December.
All the various people who are defecting all have different reasons. General Doa Turjong is doing it for internal Dinka politics, you could say, but that also brought to his eyes the lack of resolution of the government. Some other people are doing it almost on a career basis, like Francis Nazario, who has been hesitating for a long time and eventually made the jump. Others, like Peter Adwok, are doing a brilliant analysis of the situation because they can see through the whole clear, cut out the underbrush. Others like Richard Mula are people who have been, trying to create some kind of a, could say, left-wing reformist movement, and who find that now everything they have tried in their life is being destroyed and threatened. So everyone has a different motivation.
Why are they defecting now?
Okay, that is the point. When you have a lack of solution for a big problem, it festers. It gets worse and worse. And, 2-3 months ago, there was still the hope that these guys sit down and Riak talks with Salva, and eventually we'll do a patch-up job. Everybody now, among the people who think, people realize it's too late for any patch-up job.
A lot of analysts in the East Africa region who are saying the future of the ruling party, the SPLM, without the 12 members who were detained, is like a sinking ship. Do you subscribe to that conclusion?
It is a sinking ship. I agree to that. But it's not because 11 guys left. They're part of the general show. Yes, the SPLM is a sinking ship. And I think in the future, it is going to shrink to being only one party amongst many. Perhaps even totally disappear.
Looking at what you would call liberation struggle movements in Africa, look at Angola, look at Zimbabwe and Eritrea and other countries. Are there parties that liberate their own people and they stay in power for long?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. This is really a pattern that has, ruined the political life of the continent for years. And that is still haunting us. And it's very interesting to see that Southern Sudan, which was the first country to break the African Union rules of Charter Article 4B, about secession, might also be the first one to break this kind of automatic sleepwalking into liberation movement, quote-unquote, that becomes a government overnight, and then usually ends up totally screwing everything. I mean, Eritrea is another terrible example of that. Zimbabwe is atrocious. Angola is not much better, and it survives only because it has such oil resources that they can patch up their lack of good governance with the billions of dollars of oil. So Southern Sudan, perhaps, has decided to take things into its own hand.
Are there other external forces involved in what is happening in Juba, especially within the SPLM?
Yes, of course, you have all kinds of people who are fiddling with this, fiddling with that. Well, you cannot, we don't live in a bubble on the moon. But I do not see that any basic trend now happening in southern Sudan is dominated or led or pushed by foreigners. You know, in a way, Museveni tried when he jumped in to try to help Salva. Some few people are fiddling a little bit with the React, giving him a few guns, a bit of ammunition. Fine, but these are peripheral. They're not at the core of things. I mean, the people who are deciding for the future of southern Sudan are southern Sudanese.
That's Professor Gérald Prunier, a French professor of history who has studied Sudan and South Sudan for many years. He was speaking to me from Paris earlier today.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Dripping water taps, wastewater from washing, and rain can form pools of stagnant water where malaria-carrying mosquitoes and other parasites breed. But there are ways to minimize the risk. First, don't dispose of water in a low-lying area which doesn't drain naturally. If there's a stagnant pool near your living space, sweep the water aside. Then, in that spot, dig a hole at least a meter deep. Refill it with sand or gravel, which is porous and allows the water into the soil so a pool doesn't form there. To help protect you and your family from disease, do what you can to eliminate stagnant water.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Western Equatorial leaders want federal system of government. Find out why after this.
You don't want to miss VOA's South Sudan in Focus. You can hear us on one of our FM affiliate stations around the country or on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan. In Juba, listen to South Sudan in Focus at 8 p.m. on 93.5. You can also find us on shortwave at 11995, 13870, and 15180 kilohertz. Or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you think your countrymen who migrated abroad should have the right to vote in local elections? Why or why not?
People who gone abroad should be allowed to vote because they are part of this country and they have also their brothers and sisters here. They have right to vote.
Indeed they should. They should be allowed to vote.
Not unless they've become citizens of the country that they are staying. But if they've not become citizens, they should be given the opportunity to vote.
I think the countrymen, my local countrymen who have migrated abroad should not have a right to vote in local elections because they really don't understand how a country works.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. After a 3 months recess, the Western Equatoria State Legislative Assembly opened today with State Governor Bangasi Bakasoro Joseph telling lawmakers he supports federalism because it will avoid another bloody conflict in South Sudan. As Gift Friday reports from Yambio, lawmakers say they want the national government to provide security for its citizens, which they say is lacking.
The State Legislative Assembly officially resumed today amid pomp and ceremony with the State Police Band welcoming back lawmakers as state ministers, church leaders, other government officials, armies, representatives, and ordinary citizens looked on. State Governor Bakasoro urged lawmakers to work with law enforcement authorities to address imminent threats of insecurity caused by long simmering tensions between cattle keepers and farmers. He says Western Equatorial citizens are peace-loving people who want a peaceful solution to outsiders settling into their state by force. And he says the way to avoid more bloody violence is to embrace a federal system of government.
Western Equatorial State is for federal system of government. As a democracy has set foot everywhere in the world, the Republic of South Sudan is not an exception. In a democratic society, it is a society that decides. Our people suffered a great deal during the two long civil wars, and we must do everything to prevent war in our region.
Bakosoro says while the state government stands for peacefully resolving the ongoing political crisis, he wants that some SPLA defected soldiers from Mapel in western Bahr el Ghazal are heading to western Equatoria and could create havoc in local communities.
Defectors from the SPLA military garrisons of Mapel and Bahr el Ghazal were reported to be heading towards western Equatoria state, and this is another threat to this state. If this is true, it can complicate our security situation, taking into consideration the continuous movement of other negative forces like Damboro and LRA.
Bakosoro says the state authorities are monitoring territorial boundaries. The Speaker of the State's Assembly, Baje James Elisa, also called for peaceful resolution to the conflict. He says the Assembly is looking forward to progress at the Addis Ababa talks and decried the ongoing violence.
As all of us are aware of the current insecurity situation, which is tearing our young nation apart, ranging from losses of innocent lives, uprooting citizens from their residence, forcing others into displacement and the refugee life in the neighboring countries. Of course, all this is the product of an invadable hunger for power.
Elisa did not name the names when referring to that hunger for power. State lawmakers were on a 3-month break to visit their constituencies, drum up support for President Salva Kiir, and to mobilize youth for military conscription in the fight against rebels of the HPLA in opposition. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Yambio.
And that's the show for this Monday. We leave you now with a peace song called Ceasefire by Kebas featuring Young Bo. Hey.
We need some peace, y'all. Harmony is what you're dying for. Yep.
Zeta Duban, Junub Sudan, Bele Jamil wa Aziz, Lakisi Yasa Shilu Nasfa, Ukate Zaman, Nina Kulana Kan Mashin, Leki Dam, Shuf Shabab Bimud, Iyal Bimud, Bejian, Metalga, Ofof Kaman, Kuli Yama Halbika, Mama Bikore,
Yarabi,
we want peace.
Not solved. All I see is children dying. No orphans every day. I see the mothers crying. Lay a drama. Zaman kanja kila na bin belet na binia. Mia feel mia bada mendin fadia like in gibu katia. Zaman to will mater go funia. Stop the eye of peace. Peace and love is what you're looking for. We're dying for equality. Dying for humanity. Prosperity and justice. Stop the bloodshed. Give a chance to the little ones to build this young nation. We need motivation, education for the Nasmut Kadir, my back there, that for Bill. The fish is so bright, I need some sun or shade.
We have been listening to that peace song from Kebas featuring Young Bo with the song Ceasefire. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening and join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
The oppressed and feeble fox, put your hands together and pray for the sky. Yes. To open the gates and dry your eyes. Watching the SSTV, I see everybody moaning. It ain't no good morning. Oh, God, it's a bad morning.